Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
So we are not even into the actual show, and I've already screwed it up.
Liar!
Katie got me that sound, and I was trying to really hurry up and put it in here. And I one thing that I hear a lot from people when I meet you is that you really love the intro to the show, that you think the intro is great. And I've had moms tell me they have their kids in their car, and their kids, every time we come on at the top of the hour, their kids do the whole intro. And then I'm dropping that in the middle of it. And you're probably like, whoa, what was that? Was that an addition?
Whoa.
It was a special addition. I won't do that again. We try to come in sounding all, you know, professional with the latest news of the day. And I'm dropping Princess Bride stuff all. It's a great movie, though. So the Senate, I could just go and quote the whole thing.
It's way up there as far as greatest movies ever made.
And very strange that Robin Wright, who is in House of Cards, is also the princess in Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm, yes.
She's come a long way.
Two different types of characters.
Like
Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm. Billy Crystal.
Didn't get any better than that.
And a peanut. Stop rhyming.
Anybody want a
peanut?
Yes. Yeah, I spend the whole time I watch
Fezzik.
The Princess Bride.
Are there rocks ahead? If there are, we'll all be dead.
Is there anything happening, like, for real in the real world? Beto O'Rourke is running for president. Shocker. I know you're all surprised by that. That's the gift that keeps on giving. Beto is... Some people have suggested there's something like Barack Obama-esque about Beto, but I don't know. He's very, to me, he feels very produced or rehearsed. I don't know if that's the way y'all feel about it, but it just feels like there's something about him that's a bit theatrical when it comes to watching him. I was watching the dueling rallies at the border. And you'd go to Trump and you'd go to Beto, and it was just very emphatic. Listen, did you hear, Tony, have you heard what President Trump said about Beto?
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy or is that just the way he acts? So I've never seen hand movement. I watched him a little while this morning doing, I assume it was some kind of a news conference. And I've actually never seen anything quite like it. Study it. I'm sure you'll agree.
Study it. He's never seen anything quite like it. He should watch himself.
There were reporters in the background just giggling and laughing from that. So that was good to see.
He isn't wrong. The biggest hand gesture has to be Nancy Pelosi. She speaks more with...
Look.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
Look at him go. Beto's on TV right now, and the president is right. His hands never stop.
They're in action. You're burning calories.
You are so right. Theatrical is the best way to describe him.
And
that is so right.
The thing that makes me about that is I want it to be in your brain, in your head, that you're going to go in there and improve upon the situation. But when you listen to Beto talk about what he's running for and why he decided to put himself into this this race. It's like, really?
Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America. This is a defining moment of truth for this country and for every single one of us. The challenges that we face right now, the interconnected crises in our economy, our democracy, and our climate have never been greater. And they will either consume us or they will afford us the greatest opportunity to unleash the genius of the United States of America.
It's very
bold. You know what? I can't promise this. He has been told his whole life by his people. Look at him go, man. His hands literally never stop.
If I did those types of, you can't see me unless you're watching on the webcam. I burned twice the amount of calories in one day.
I'm a hand talker.
I'm gesturing right
now. I'm Italian. I talk with my hands all the time. And he's blowing me out of the water.
And he is Mexican. Beto.
Yeah. O'Rourke.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's been told by people around him his whole life, you're such an expressive speaker. You're so good at getting your message across. You're so animated. And he's just taken that and built on it.
Feeding the beast.
Yeah, and just like now he thinks that he's just doing it better than anybody else.
He's finally arrived.
Emotions. Yeah, and it's a lot.
The interesting thing about him, when you look at where he came from and how he got here, why do we know his name? It's because he raised a ton of money and lost Ted Cruz.
Yeah. He lost his Senate race. How does that make him qualified to run for president? Well, I didn't win that race, which is a smaller race. Now I will just run for something bigger.
So he announced his candidacy through Vanity Fair, which is where all great campaigns start. The author, Joe Hagan, he wrote the cover story. He tweeted that he spent 2 months reporting the story before even ever meeting Beto. He said, I convinced Beto O'Rourke to do this cover story after walking up to his house and introducing myself one Sunday afternoon. He was lounging on the front veranda, barefoot in blue jeans and a t-shirt, talking on his cell phone. Just like you and me.
Just like you and me.
I wish I could lounge on a veranda. Where's a veranda for me to lounge on?
Ugh.
So then Hagan also writes in this article that's in Vanity Fair. This is what he says. Beto O'Rourke seems like a cliff diver trying to psych himself into the jump. And after playing coy all afternoon about whether he'll run, he finally can't deny the pull of his own gifts. You can probably tell that I want to run, he finally confides, smiling. I do. I think I'd be good at it. The more he talks, the more he likes the sound of what he's saying. I want to be in it, he says, now leaning forward. Man, I'm just born to be in it and want to do everything I humanly can for this country at this moment.
No, that's not true.
Why does an announcement...
Yeah, right.
Why does an announcement... This is what I say, and I said it same with Bernie Sanders. The drama that comes with these announcements... Just stop. Just say, you know what? I'm going to run for president. There you go.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to build on that point, Katie, and get real just snarky.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm just going to go there. I also hate that he said Amy and I have decided that I'm going to run. Like that is so fake. It's so like, well, this is as important to my, I can't, you know, I'm such a family man that I include my wife and everything. Aren't I such a, you know, aren't I so great for women's rights because I bring up my wife when I mention that. When I took the job as news director here, I didn't say to Jeff Allen, Christine and I have decided that we will take you up on this offer.
Maybe you made
of
the
news
wrong
director.
Decision.
When you took this show, did you say to Jeff, Jared and I have decided that we will be
Jared and Jeff will both know better.
The midday show. Like
because
it's just fake.
It's not real.
It's just fake.
I think it's pretty much implied.
It's fine that you wanna say it, but people are gonna say, what's wrong with the internet? There's nothing wrong with it, it's just fake. That's all.
That's what that is.
So that's happening. So that's one more person to add to the list. that will be challenging Donald Trump on all the evil things that Donald Trump has been doing to this country. Look at how terrible it is. Look at all the success the economy is going, is experiencing. And yeah, Beto's going to fix all of it. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will with things that he supports, like, oh, say, the Green New Deal. A $93 trillion Green New Deal. Beto thinks that's the way forward. He, as we saw at the El Paso rally, he thinks that walls kill people. Walls cause death. Tell that to the angel moms who have lost somebody who they love, the angel families that have lost somebody that they've loved, because somebody was allowed to come here and not monitored because they decided to shirk the system. So I think it's very, it's interesting. It adds an interesting layer to this conversation. He doesn't look or appear to be like any of the other people running. And I'm not surprised he is. But I don't need to go to a pep rally to vote for a president. I want you to tell me why your policies are the best and how you are going to work to get them done. And if it includes the Green New Deal, if that's your line of thinking, probably out. Gus, thanks for calling the show.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I am radically pro-life. But the Democrats lack any logic in the way they pursue in their thinking, and we have to be careful not to do it. I heard the comment that Robert O'Rourke lost the Senate race, and what thinks that makes qualifies him to be a president. Well, Lincoln lost a Senate race and went on to become one of our greatest presidents. And but Beto O'Rourke is not even able to tie his shoes. So, but I just want to mention that when we think through these things, there needs to be some logic applied to it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the call, Gus. I appreciate you listening. I never have said, and I don't believe I just did say, that it due to his losing of the Senate race that he should be disqualified for the presidency. You know, let's look at Donald Trump's resume of political influence. Mostly just donations and mostly to Democrats. So, you know, the point that Gus is likely making that I will piggyback upon is this idea that when the Democrats are looking to make a splash and have somebody who's going to lead them into battle against Donald Trump and take the country back and build it up. Oh, no, excuse me. Ocasio-Cortez wants to destroy everything and rebuild it, which would be much more green. And that's where part of the $93 trillion plan comes in. But the idea of having some sort of platform that is very foundationally firm and solid is not of the utmost importance to Democratic operatives. They want to make sure they have somebody who can captivate you. They want to have somebody who can come on a stage and just woo you with their wonderful plans for what you should not have, that what should be a right, what you should be provided, and how we are the only country in the world that doesn't X, Y, and Z. Why are people trying to get in the back door and the side door to come here? What's so great about what we're doing? What's so great about what we have? And why would we want to be like everybody else? Especially when it seems like most of these other countries are trying to be like us. There's something there with value that's worth protecting. And if the person who comes up on a stage and has a lot of sensational words to tell you, and they're very charismatic and they're a very great orator, but they don't have the substance behind it, which I think is what Gus was saying, we should be very diligent, be very cautious. I think you already are, because I think you saw substance in Donald Trump that you didn't see in Hillary Clinton. Even though Hillary Clinton may have been the more polished politician, that was actually her downfall in 2016. The substance is what was important in 2016, and God willing, it'll be what's important in 2020. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the highlights of the day. Lots of news to talk about. We're watching the Senate as they engage in a vote to try to undermine the president's authority in his declaration of that national emergency. And the president expects to have to veto that. So we'll wait and see what happens. Tyrus is going to talk to us at 1:10. I'm going to ask him about what it's like to try to get into college, to try to get an athletic scholarship, and to know that somebody out there is writing a big fat check and taking your place. And very excited at 1:40, we'll speak with chairman of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel. She's going to tell us, what are Republicans? What's the GOP? What's Donald Trump doing for women lately? We're going to have that conversation at 1:40. Stay tuned. A lot more headed your way.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know what the vote will be. It doesn't matter. I'll probably have to veto. And it's not going to be overturned. And we're going to have our whole thing. It's been the legal scholars all say it's totally constitutional. It's very important. It's really a border security vote. It's pure and simple. It's a vote for border security. It's a vote for no crime.
President Trump reacting to the vote that's taking place today to, I guess, overturn the national emergency that the president had declared about the border wall, border security issue on our southern border. He said he's going to veto it. And he said, told senators, vote whatever way you need to vote. But so we're waiting. We're watching that. Have you guys been outside recently?
This morning, just this morning, getting to my car.
It looks amazing right now.
It's windy.
It's crazy windy.
The on our Facebook page, Facebook appears to be working for the time being. So hurry up right
Success.
Now before it stops working again and go like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. And we shared this video. It's out of Amarillo, Texas, and they were experiencing wind gusts up to 80 miles an hour. And it's just a compilation of a bunch of semis driving down the road, blowing over in traffic. Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
That is one of my greatest fears. Honestly, when I get by a semi, I just zoom past. I don't care.
I'm sure the semis love that.
I'm like, get me out of this situation.
We have a lot of truck drivers who listen to this show. If they don't listen to it live, they definitely podcast it at radio.com. And you see, we hear from them from time to time. But I can't imagine what it's like to be driving that big. Because as soon as the trailer catches the wind gust underneath the bed, and the wheels start to lift over, all of a sudden it's just like boom, it's flopped over and it's you're toast.
So, and they have no control over it. I'm sure it's a great fear for any truck driver as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I agree. It's you know the wind can move the trailer bed, just cause it to shift. Because I've been in my SUV driving down the road and a wind gust comes and it kind of makes you go woof. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, gonna hold it. Wheel a little extra tight right now because the winds are so strong, but be safe while you're driving out there. But hopefully you do get a chance to go out and just enjoy not being frigid when you walk outside. My favorite temperature is whatever temperature I can walk outside in shoes that I'm like not wearing socks with, like flats or heels that I don't have to wear, and not have my feet feel cold just in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're kind of teetering around there.
62.
So enjoy the weather. Don't blow over.
Now, let's get to the highlights.
All right. I wasn't going to do this one, but...
But here you are.
Let her rip.
Here I go. This story. Liberal New York college students demand administrators deal with racist white professors and provide free detergent.
What? Yeah, that took a turn.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
You're right. Students at a New York college, routinely ranked as one of the most liberal in America, are accusing administrators of not being progressive enough unless they accept a long list of demands, including taking teaching duties away from, quote, racist white professors, I'll get to why they're racist in a second, and providing laundry detergent and softener
for
all.
Yeah, softener. Not just detergent. You gotta have a softener.
It's true.
Downy. I like my clothes off.
The Downy Bear is involved.
Wide-ranging declaration that emerged this week at Sarah Lawrence College, comes as bands of students have been marching around campus, chanting outside the president's home, and participating in sit-ins over their beliefs the school has not implemented sufficient strategies to dismantle systematic oppression to be sustainable or safe for marginalized people in an increasingly dangerous political climate. It costs $55,000 a year to go to this school.
Not if you choose not to go.
Here's a quote from a student group. If the college does not accept these demands, it will no longer be hailed as a progressive institution, but instead remembered for its inability to truly embody its self-proclaimed progressive ideology and support all students against an international rising tide of white supremacy and fascism.
Oh, rising tide.
I didn't know that was on the rise. Here's a bit of the list of demands. All campus laundry rooms are to supply laundry detergent and softener, Frank, on a consistent basis for all students, faculty, and staff.
What happens if they run out?
It's
racist.
Has to be replaced.
Exactly.
Has to be replaced immediately. Students of color should not be forced to resort to racist white professors in order to have access to their own history. So these teachers are racist because they're white and they're teaching black history.
Oh my goodness.
This is part of the statement. It is crucial that the college offer courses taught about people of color by people of color so that students may
engage. That's like saying you have to have somebody from the Union and the Confederacy teach the Civil War.
Exactly.
That's the stupidest thing ever.
Exactly. It's serious. Flip test it. It's seriously like saying that a black teacher is not capable of teaching European studies or, you know, or anything that has.
I don't even like hearing that.
That is,
it's wild.
About mostly white people. Like, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's crazy. Here's another one. When dining options are closed on campus, the college must provide free meals for students staying on campus, including vegetarian, gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and something called halal? H-A-L-A-L?
Oh, I've heard
anyone?
That, yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Middle Eastern. I think that's Middle Eastern.
So they have to have all that for free, even when the restaurants, even when when dining options are closed.
Good grief.
How many people are involved in these marching bands?
$5,000 a year to go there.
But you said there were marching bands. How many people are involved?
It said,
is there a good foreign section? Took a long time to get to the joke.
Bands
Tony
of people.
Got it.
Yes,
it's marching around, right. The Missouri legislature is looking at legalizing sports betting in the state, and a pair of the state's pro sports teams management spoke out in favor of that change in Jefferson City this week. The Cardinals president, Bill DeWitt III, said House Bill 119, quote, creates a safe and ultimately successful sports betting market. And the Royals' Kevin Ulich, a senior vice president, said House Bill 119 is the only legislation that clears the high bar for our fans, our sport, and our state deserve. A representative from Major League Baseball also spoke out in favor of the legislation.
Kellyanne Conway's husband, George Conway, is flying off the handles, but has also been an outspoken critic of the president via Twitter messages. He's posted a thread calling out Trump for claiming that Judge Jackson's sentencing of Paul Manafort had exonerated the president from the Russian collusion narrative. Have we ever seen this degree of brazen, pathological mendacity in American public life? Conway asked in a tweet. One day he makes a harmless slip of the tongue, something any mentally balanced person would laugh off. But instead, he lies about it. He denies what the world can see on videotape. Why would he feel compelled to tell such an absurd lie? Conway later suggested that the president has a disorder and questioned his condition of mind.
All right. What are those dinners like at home?
I know, yeah.
Take it away, Frank.
Okay. The Blues started. I just thought you were going to go on with that there.
No, it's pretty self-explanatory.
The Blues started a 3-game road trip tonight in Ottawa against the Senators. David Perron making the trip so that it adds some offense back to the lineup for the note. They'll also visit Pittsburgh and Buffalo on the road swing. College hoops last night. Both Missouri and Illinois advanced in their conference tournaments. Mizzou bested Georgia 71-61. Senior Jordan Geist with 30 points. The Tigers play Auburn this afternoon at 2:30. The late game in the Big Ten tournament had some fireworks as Illinois and Northwestern battled it out in the close game. The Illini needed overtime to squeak by 74-69. It was actually a very, very fun game. The Illini will face Iowa tonight. I mean, it really was. For two teams that are in the bottom four of the Big Ten, you know, your 11 seed and your 14 seed, it was very fun, exciting, up and down the court, fast-paced game.
Cool.
It was really a lot of fun. They'll face Iowa tonight. The Billikens start at the 8-10 tournament play this evening at 7:30 in Brooklyn against Richmond.
You remember that story? I don't know, 6 months ago. It might have been 40 years ago. The stories happened so fast. Of the New Mexico compound where they found those children that were emaciated and some weapons and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's an update on that. There's been some charges filed. I'll tell you about that as soon as we come back. Give us a call, 314-241-9797. That news just hitting. We'll have that for you in just a minute when we come back. Tyrus joins us at 110 and chairwoman of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel, at 140. Also, Melissa Francis, you know her as the co-anchor of Fox Business Network's After the Bell. She's also on Outnumbered quite regularly. We're going to talk to her at 2:25. Haven't talked to her on the show before. So welcoming Melissa Francis for the first time in at 2:25. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we were talking just before we went to the break there. We're going through the highlights of the day, and just 22 minutes ago, there's a new story that came out that said the feds have charged five from that New Mexico compound where 11 children were found. They were charged with terror and kidnapping offenses. So this is a story from months and months ago. I feel like it was like last August maybe or something like that. So this is from Fox News. The residents of a makeshift New Mexico compound where 11 emaciated children were found during an August raid, there you go, were charged by federal authorities Wednesday with terror, kidnapping, and firearms offenses. According to the Assistant Attorney General, John Demers, for the Department of Justice National Security Division, he said the indictment alleges that the defendants conspired to provide material support in preparation for violent attacks against federal law enforcement officers and members of the military. That's a pretty big deal. It lists off the subjects' names. They were charged with federal offenses related to terrorism, kidnapping, and firearms violations. And in the original indictment, one of them was also charged with, quote, possessing firearms and ammunition as an alien illegally and unlawfully in the United States. Previously, it says the suspects were previously charged on September 11th, which I think is just a date, not the September 11th, with a conspiracy relating to the possession of firearms and ammunition by an illegal alien and unlawfully in the United States. This is a developing story, and these charges come after an August 3rd raid. It was a really weird story. And when you recall seeing the photos of this compound out in the desert, like surrounded by tires and makeshift tents, and these children were living there, and the story went that the reason why they were ultimately uncovered and discovered was because they needed food. They had exhausted all options previously, and they needed food. 11 children. It's really something. So hopefully they can throw the book at these people, and these 11 kids are doing well. It's kind of a crazy story. You were talking about what was the story you were just telling me that you had? Jussie Smollett.
Jussie.
That happened. A lot of these like little details. I look up today and who's in court? Jussie Smollett's in court. Roger Stone's in court. Paul Manafort. We're talking about him being in court. It's like Groundhog Day, it feels like. But Jussie,
he's pleaded not guilty. in a Chicago courtroom today on 16 charges stemming from an alleged hate crime hoax. He was initially charged with one count of lying to the authorities. Last week, a grand jury indicted Smollett on 16 felony counts of lying to authorities. 8 counts from what he told the officer who responded to the report of the attack, and 8 from what he later told the detective about being the victim of a brutal, racist, and homophobic beating by 2 masked men in downtown Chicago back in January. He has pled not guilty to all charges.
And what do you think about the...
Smollett's attorney says that calls it overkill.
Overkill?
Yes.
What do you think about the decision to have the... Why do you think he wants cameras? They didn't say, no, we don't want to have cameras during this whole trial. Smollett wants them in there.
I think he likes the attention.
Yeah.
I think that reminded me of when R. Kelly went on with Gayle and he made that big, crazy production and he was loud and all that. I think when people want the attention, they think it's going to be positive because it shows, you know, we don't care. We're trustworthy. We're innocent and we're going to prove it to you. But in retrospect, the rest of us are like, no, man, that doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't change a thing.
Did you see or hear Howard Stern made a remix to Ignition with with R. Kelly's interview with Gayle?
There's been some crazy stuff on the internet about
that. It's not inappropriate in the sense that I couldn't air it, but I've chosen not to just because what he's talking about is so sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, bad.
But I really like Remix to Ignition. I really like that song. It is a part of my youth that I will not, every time I hear it, I'll be like, oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. School dances for me.
I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in years.
Me either.
And I haven't kept up with anything. I've seen a few, you know, skits that got, attention for whatever reason and usually don't think they're funny. They've done a couple funny things, but not, you know, not like the old days. But did a parody of that, of the Gayle King interview.
Oh, did they?
Last week, and it was hilarious.
Really?
If you saw the, at least I thought it was.
To me, I feel like if they were equal opportunity offenders, there's so much to work with. I do not care at all if you want to spend time making fun of Donald Trump. Donald Trump makes that very simple. Donald Trump would actually likely acknowledge it when it's funny or play on it. Like, it would be mutually beneficial. But when you have angry Alec Baldwin on there, I don't care about Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. I mean,
overplayed
this is
your hand.
As much. Yes, exactly. It's as much about Alec Baldwin being Alec Baldwin as it is about Alec Baldwin being Donald Trump. A lot of people were talking about...
you can see Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Like, you can...
And his hate.
You don't see Trump. You just see Alec Baldwin making fun of... That's,
and when you watch,
that's so funny about...
Will Ferrell doing W. Bush.
Yes.
And I mean, like... It's
Dana Carvey doing the first Bush.
Yes. Yeah. They're so funny. And Daryl Hammond doing Bill Clinton.
Yes.
Where, like, especially during Hillary's race, Daryl Hammond would come back and Hillary would be like, what's her face that does Hillary? Does a really good Hillary.
Yeah, she does. I know who you're talking about. I don't know her. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
When Daryl Hammond would just like be in the background, like hitting on women and stuff, that's funny.
Yeah. Or when Melissa McCarthy played Sean Spicer.
That was really funny.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Great.
So it's like they do have the ability to do it, but their selection on what they need to you know, invoke in group therapy every Saturday night when they do the show. It's like, if you served all of America, because we're pretty much 50-50 here, if you served all of the people, we would roll on the floor laughing when you do the things like, you know, like Matt Damon's Brett Kavanaugh, I think. Didn't he do Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, he did.
I had a lot of people be like, you got to watch it. I'm like, I don't want to watch it because I hated so much what real people did to Brett Kavanaugh. I didn't want to see Matt Damon on top of it make fun of him. But then everybody was like, no, you need to watch it. You'll laugh at it. And I don't remember. I don't think I actually ended up doing it at the end of the day. But those are the types of things that I would I would want the opportunity to laugh at those things. But when you come from a place of constant vitriol and disgust, I know that that disgust is as directed as at myself as it is the president of the United States. Because if Donald Trump weren't the Republican in office, whichever else Republican in office was there, they would hate him just as much.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump just gets into their heads a little bit more because the standard playbook on how to defeat and destroy a Republican candidate for any office doesn't really apply to Donald Trump. Because, maturely said, he's rubber and they're glue and however the rest of that thing goes. Whatever sticks to me and bounces off me.
And I think something
whatever
that really
you say whatever, bounces off of me
and sticks to you.
I think something that sounds really like something makes them really makes them riled up and angry is that they believe that he was one of them at one point.
Yes.
Everyone in SNL.
Like he's a traitor.
And, yeah. He betrayed the party and the money's not coming anymore for the party. So that makes them equally as upset. So he's double whammy screwed, basically.
Yeah. I think you're spot on. And how much they loved him when he was on their side, taking photos with him, going to his parties, eating his food, drinking his alcohol, taking his checks. And then what the unforgivable sin for Donald Trump is only the fact that he became a Republican. That's the only thing that separated him from where he was not very long ago to where he is right now and why he is public enemy number one.
Imagine if he spoke because he's always spoke as plainly and bluntly as he does as president. He's always done that. Imagine if there was another Republican in office that was, you can't really say that's like Trump because there's nobody like Trump, but there was a polarizing Republican president and Donald Trump, New Yorker Donald Trump, liberal Democrat Donald Trump, was on TV all the time, speaking exactly the way he speaks now, but pointing all of that name calling and everything at that Republican president. He would be a darling.
Yeah.
He would be invited on every show to go after. They would love it. Yep. They would love the way he talks. They would call him plain spoken. They would call, you know, they wouldn't twist it to say that, you know, that he's all these other things if he was on their side.
Completely. And good comedy that's funny is funny because it's true. There is like a relatable sense of it. And it's what makes it funny is A, the fact that someone's actually willing to say it out loud. And B, because you want to like snap your fingers and point and go, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen that. There's plenty of that to go around, but good grief, to pretend like the only ones that you could poke fun at are the folks on the right side of the aisle. And every week is an attack against those people on the right side of the aisle versus we're like trying to come up with the half a dozen things we can think that took place in the last 10 years. Real quick, when was the golden years of Saturday Night Live for you? 90s?
Yeah, for me, it's like the 90s. Yeah.
It was a good time. I used to watch it all the time. All right, Tyrus, when we come back at 1:10, is going to weigh in on this college scandal. Also, the chairwoman of the RNC, Ronna McDaniel, at 1:40. And we're going to speak with Melissa Francis from Fox Business and Outnumbered at 2:25. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.